about things, and I'm trying to get your mind off of thanking God. Start rejoicing. Amen. You'll forget all that junk. Amen?
Right.
You start praising God. When's the last time you just had you a shouting fit over just you and God? Nobody around, nobody, you have to perform for anybody. Just have your time, you and shouting before the Lord. I was going to preach on this morning. I was doing the seven judgments. Yes, last week I did the Calvary. And today was supposed to be self-examination. Check out yourself. But I want us, since we're going to have a baby dedication, I want us to look over in 1 Samuel, and I think I'll just change directions here this morning. And 1 Samuel, there's a woman named Hannah, and Hannah was a great woman. What a great woman. Thank God for Hannah. And in the Bible, she loved the Lord. She asked God for a child, and she asked God to give her a child that she would raise that child. That's why we dedicate children. We dedicate them because of this passage and throughout the Bible, there's a dedication of children, but this is very, very significant in baby dedication. We always use this because Hannah vowed to God that she would raise that child for God. And God gives you a responsibility as a parent to raise your child to be, we were talking about that this morning in Sunday school, about building upon the testimony, building upon the things that God's given you. And God's given us children to raise for his glory. Since the baby dedication, I figured I'd just preach on this. And Hannah prayed, asked God to give her a child. Why? Because she was childless. She didn't have children. And she was looked down upon because she didn't have children. And in Israel, the women prayed that they would be the one, maybe they would be the one to bring the Messiah. Maybe they would be the one that the Messiah would come through, the seed. They would be that vessel that God would use. And Hannah was mocked and by other women because she had no children. And the Bible says Hannah came up before the Lord and begged God. And look at chapter 1, verse 10. We'll just look at this morning. I was going to preach on, like I said, the seven judgments and on self-examination, but since time is going by and we don't have a whole lot of time, and then we won't have a baby dedication at the end. But Hannah prayed a prayer, I'm telling you what. What a great prayer she prayed. But it says in verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow. She vowed before God. I mean, the Bible tells us don't vow and not keep the vow that you've made to God. Amen. Why? It can be worse on you. And if you vow a vow to God, you need to keep that vow. And you say, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do this. If you make that kind of vow to God, you better keep it or all hell's going to break loose. And Hannah vowed a vow unto God and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaiden and remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thy handmaiden a man child. I like that. It sounds like Jungle Book. Give me a man child. Give me a man child. And God, and she asked God before, why? Because through the seed of the male was going to carry on the name, the family name. And she said, God, if you would give me a man child and that we could carry on that name. And maybe that would be the one, the lineage of which Jesus Christ or the Messiah would come. And it says, remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a man child. Then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And that was a Nazarite vow. Samson in the Bible has a Nazarite vow. And they didn't cut his hair. And Samuel, that was the significance of a Nazarite vow. They wouldn't cut their hair at all. And so she said, no razor come upon his head. So they did have razors back then, no doubt. And it says, she said, no razor come upon his head. And Samuel ended up being a great man. You know about Samuel coming to Saul. And Samuel, whenever Samuel went to town, as he became a prophet of God, and the Bible says they were called seers. They were called seers in the Old Testament. And the seer would come and prophesy and tell him, this is what's going to happen if you don't do this and you don't do that. The reason why we don't have prophets anymore, a lot of churches claim to have prophets. They have apostles and all that. The reason why we don't have that, because we got a full revelation from God. We got the Bible. We got the Word of God. It's complete. Now, one day, the Bible says in Joel chapter 2 and 3, it says, your old man will dream dreams. That's going to be in the tribulation period. It's all connected with the Jews. And one day, they're going to see that. But look at it. Look in chapter 1 and look at verse 12. And it came to pass that she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Eli was the high priest, and he was the man that was in charge of the tabernacle at that time. And he marked her mouth. He was watching her. He thought she was drunk. You know, a lot of times, you know, the Bible talks about when a person's filled with the Spirit, it says, be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. If a man filled with the Spirit, you almost think sometimes he's drunk. The way he shouts and praises God and not worry about things. And people think, well, that guy's messed up, man. He's just not right. And I believe in shouting in church, amen? Amen. I believe in praising God. I believe that's part of, you say, well, that's just all flesh. That's the best the flesh could ever do, yeah, is give glory to God, amen, and give praise to him, amen, and stand up and say, glory, hallelujah. That's the best the flesh could do. And give God glory. And Bible says he marked her mouth. And now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. And you can pray out loud. You can pray with your lips just moving, but you can pray silent. But she prayed and her lips moved, but her voice was not heard because Eli thought that she had been drunken. And it's likened to when a person's praying out loud like that, they think it's drunk. And it says, and Eli said unto her, how long will thou be drunken? He mistook her being praying and her soul being so heavy laden that he mistook that for her being drunken. And he said, how long will thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, now, if a person smells like wine and they look like a mess and they're staggering around and you smell them and they smell like it, you say, well, sure enough, they're probably drunk. But Hannah didn't, she didn't have the smell. She didn't look a mess. As far as I know, she just came in, but Eli thought she was drunken. And Eli had two sons. Eli had two sons, and those two boys were messing around with the women at the tabernacle. They were taking bribes. And then Samuel is the guy that here he is looking at her mama and saying, how long are you going to be drunken with wine and all that stuff? And her son ends up pronouncing judgment upon his seed. Yeah. Her son, that he supposed that she was drunken, that boy raises up and she dedicates him and puts him in the tabernacle, and he ends up pronouncing judgment on his seed, and he ends up dying because the Bible says he was a very heavy man, and he was sitting on the wall, and when he heard that the tabernacle, that the Ark of the Covenant was taken, and his two sons Hophni and Phinehas was killed, he fell backwards. That's where they get that supposed fairy tale. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. That's where it came from. So look at here. And the Bible says, and Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. I believe it's good for every once in a while for you just to pour your soul out to God. Yes, I mean, you're going through a heavy time, heartache. I'm going to tell you something, getting on the phone, getting on Facebook, getting on the internet. I mean, that's not, you know, you can do that if you want. People pray for you, but I'll tell you what, the best thing you can do is pour out your soul to God. Amen. Say, Lord, I need your help. Nobody else can help me. Amen. Only you can help me. And God, do something for me. And boy, I tell you what, you'll get some results. Yeah. You'll get results, guarantee you. Yes, sir. We said, we're looking at this morning as God of all comfort. He's my Father, and he cares about his children. And he does care about you. And the Bible says, she says, count not thine handmaiden as a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. She said, if you're drinking and carrying on, you're a daughter of what? Belial, the devil. Yeah. Now, I've seen a lot of God's children. I've seen a lot of God's children act like the daughters and sons of Belial. Yeah. And they're God's children. And look at verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition, which thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. What she did, she got to a place, she laid out her soul to God, her bitter complaint, and she just trusted God after that. That's a lesson learned there, folks. If you got something going on in your life, give it to the Lord. bow before him, put your complaint out to God, and pour out your soul to him, and then trust him that he's going to take care of it. Amen. And he will. Yep. Problem is, we go up, we lay it on the altar. We'll say, God, I'm going to give it to you. And we walk away and we stop and look back at it and we go, I'm going to pick that back up again. I don't think God can handle that. I'm going to take it back myself. Right. And we bring back the burden on ourselves.
Right.
How many times we've done that? I say we. Verse 18. And she said, so the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And you know, you see people walking around. I go to the mall every Friday night. And I go to the mall every Friday night. We pass out tracts. We're usually there not that long. But, you know, give out a couple tracts here and there. But I watch people. And I'm telling you, folks, people are not happy. They're not happy. And I mean, folks, as Christians, if anybody ought to be happy, if anybody ought to be thanking God, right, if anybody ought to have a smile on their face, that's why when you walk around and got a smile on your face, people think you're high as a kite or something. Yeah. Christians ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Right. Amen.
Why? We got a Father that cares for us.
Amen.
We got a Father in heaven looking out for us. I mean, when we're going through sorrow like we did yesterday. But when I finally gave it to the Lord, God gave me peace, everything's going to be all right. Went on and trusted him. Look at verse 19. And they, well, I'm trying to get to chapter 2. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. Notice that? Her countenance changed. She's not sad. She's worshiping. Worshiping. Worship comes from a deep inner being of thankfulness. And worship comes from that, giving God the glory and thanking him for what he's done and what he's going to do. Worship. We put out on the sign, 11 o'clock, worship service. But how often do we really worship? How often do we really praise? She rose up in the morning and early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramoth. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was about come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked of him of the Lord. And the Bible says, and look down verse 22 or Acts 24, and when she had weaned him, he grows up. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and an ephah of flour. And it says a bottle of wine, and brought him onto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my soul, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. And this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I have asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. She says, I'm giving it back. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. It says he worshiped the Lord there. Who was worshiping? The child. That child, and when they're children, they'll follow whatever the parents are doing. When that child is raised for God, you say, well, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. He might depart for a while, but God made a promise.
Right. Amen.
I'll bring him back.
Amen.
He might depart for a while. When you dedicate your baby to God, you're saying, I'm going to give him to God. And God, you take care of him. You watch over him. I'm going to do my part. As parents sitting here, we have to do our part as examples. I was telling Brother Ken and Brother Eric the other night, we were sitting there talking. I said, you know what the biggest thing of why a lot of children go astray? I found it as a pastor being 30 years. Why a lot of times they go astray, not always, but 85 to 90% of the time is because of the home. because of the home. 85% of the time, it's because of the home. And then the other part of the time is the rebellion in them. And that's why the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. Then it says, fathers, provoke not your children to what? You got to be careful where you raise them. You can't be accusing them all the time. You got to pray for them. Look at chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, my Lord, this is after she brings Samuel. My heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. She starts worshiping and praising God. And her prayer is, while she's praying, she's praising and she's worshiping. She says this, there is none holy as the Lord. There's none holy as the Lord. When you finally make up your mind, God, you're everything. I'm nothing, but you're everything to me. I want you to be everything in my family. I want you to be everything in my children. I want you to be everything in my grandchildren. I want you to have control. Hannah's praying. She's dedicated that child. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our rock. Amen. The Bible talks about rock. It says our rock is a rock of ages. I mean, brother, our rock was always sure, always secure, our rock. We can anchor in the rock because he's secure. When's the last time you anchored in? I mean, just got anchored in. The rock. She said, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our rock. Can you all say amen to that?
Amen.
Our rock is the rock. It ain't the guy in the wrestling match. They call him the rock. He's not the rock. They call Mike Tyson Iron Mike. He's not the iron. None of them that try to take the glory for themselves or anything. The Lord is the rock. He's the one, man. And you make up your mind, I'm going to serve the rock rather than yourself or your job or your people or whatever it might be. Make up your mind that God is number one. You know that Bible tells us in Exodus, it says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. Have him first in your life. Then the Bible tells us, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All the things we worry about. Our rock, my God, my rock. He's my rock, brother. Jesus even said one time when he came in Jerusalem and they said, the Pharisees said, shut the people up. They're saying, Hosanna to the king. Hosanna. They're praising God. And they said, the Pharisees said, shut them up. And Jesus said, if they would hush their mouths, if they would keep quiet, he said, the rocks would cry out.
Yeah.
Man, you gonna let a rock outdo you? You gonna let a rock outpraise you? When the Bible says the rocks would cry out, you know what the Lord did? He said, hey, David, I'll give you an idea. You want to take that giant down in your life? Go down the brook and pick out 5 smooth stones like rocks. I imagine when David slung that rock, the Bible says he was running towards the giant. And when he slung that rock, I imagine that rock probably went, glory to God, I'm getting ready to take this sucker's head off. See, Jesus said the rocks would cry out. Man, oh man, he is my rock, my rock. I mean, folks, he's the rock of ages. We sing that song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Amen? It says, and verse 3 says, talk no more so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogancy come out of my mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. That's probably where they get this thing, you know, God weighs your good and your bad. No, it says your actions are weighed, not your works or your salvation, for your salvation. Your actions are weighed. Why do you do what you do? Why are you here this morning? Why do you praise God? Why do you pass out tracts? Why? Your actions are weighed. Why you want to be where you're at? Your actions are weighed. God knows why. You can fool anybody and everybody. You ain't gonna fool him. Your actions are weighed. When Hannah's writing this, brother, she's writing, man, she's praying this. She's praying, she's giving you some doctrinal insight. She says, the bows of the mighty men are broken. They that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread. And they that were hungry cease, so that the barren have borne seven. And she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. You know what a dunghill is? He raises up the beggar from the dunghill. He says, the Lord maketh the poor, and he maketh rich. And I remember Dr. Rubin used to say this. He said, you know what God thinks about money by the kind of people he gave it to. God don't think a whole lot about it. Everybody's praying, Lord, help me hit the lottery. God, if you let me, I've heard it 100 times. God, if you let me hit the lottery, I promise I'll give you half of it. The Lord said, you liar, you ain't a liar. You wouldn't give it to me. Anyway, money doesn't excite God like it does us. You know what excites God? You find out what excites God in the Bible. And you follow what excites God. And I'm going to tell you something. God will take care of your needs. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You find out what excites God, and you do what excites him. You know what excites him? Souls.
Yeah.
You being a witness for Jesus Christ. You living for Jesus Christ. That excites him. Seeing his children praising him. That's exciting. The Bible says the Lord hates some things. He loves some things and he hates some things. Hannah's praying this, man. This is a woman. This is a woman praying. She's got some insight.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 31 talks about a wise woman, a virtuous woman. Can a woman be wise? Yes, she can. You know what? I've said this 100 times, and I'll say it another 100 times. The women that were at the grave, the women that were at the cross, it was women. It wasn't the disciples. John was there, but the rest were women. Where's the men at? Where's the men that live for God? Where's the men that would pray and asking God to help their family? You men in here that babies, got babies, God's going to hold you responsible to be the leader of your home, to raise those children right, to love your wife right.
Yeah. Amen.
Not to provoke your children and to love them. You can have rules and rules and rules and rules and rules and no love. It ain't going to work.
Amen.
But you better have love. You better have a balance in that thing. The Bible says a false balance is an abomination of God. You better have a balance of love and concern and showing a little mercy once in a while.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of men that have no mercy. God have mercy on them. Look what the Bible says. I love this. Verse 8, he raised up the poor out of the dust, lift up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes. You know what you are? We all deserving to be on a dunghill. And he says, we're going to sit. You know, the Bible says that we're kings and priests on our God now. I got saved. I was just a worm in a dunghill. That the Lord dug around in that dunghill and found me. Now he made me a prince for his glory. Made you a prince for his glory. But we're servants right now. We don't have no throne. We don't have no crown. We don't have none of that now. One day we will. One day. Bible says in verse 8, he lift up the beggar from the dunghill and set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillar of the earth are the Lord's. He hath set the world upon them. And he says, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. That's a woman praying that. a wise woman. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh down with their hands. Thank God for good women. This church, I said this 100 times, this church could not survive without good women.
Amen.
Thank God for good women. Hannah was a good one. I would love to have Hannah in our church. What a blessing. I could count on her to get a hold of God. I call certain people sometimes when things are happening. Yeah. I call them because I know they'll pray.
Yeah.
I know they'll get a hold of God. That's why I call them. And some of them are women that I call. Men and women I call to pray. He'll keep the feet of the saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. You read your Bible, you go back to the book of Revelation. People say, I like to read the end of the book first. I've read the end of the book, and I know what happens. I know what happens. Thank God for America. But brother, sisters, we better be praying for America now. I said this last week. I mean, I don't know who's going to win the election. I kind of feel like it's still going to be Hillary, even with all the stuff that's happening. She's a self-server. So is Donald. They're both self-servers. But if I had to vote, I'd hold my nose and I'd vote for Trump. God have mercy on America. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces out of the heavens. And I'm going to tell you something. Donald Trump don't like Christians either. You say, how you find out? Go out in front of Trump, one of his places, and start preaching on the street. See if he likes you or not. He'll hate your guts. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of the heaven shall be thunder upon them. And the Bible tells us that in the book of Revelation. And he shall give strength. Hannah's prophesying 2,000, 3,000 years before her time. Telling about, man, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of the heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. He shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramoth to his house, and the child did minister on the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Beeli. Look what it says. Here their dad. Their dad was the priest of the high God, of the most high God. And their boys were devils. They always say, you know, the preacher's kids are the worst kids in the world. I've made up my mind. I didn't want my kids to be that way, even though at times they were. You say, what'd you do? I beat the devil out of them. But I didn't beat him long enough. Amen. I didn't beat him long enough. I'll never forget one time. Josh, he got spoiled because he got run over by the car and all that stuff. Jack remembers all this. He got spoiled because he was such a, and every time he turned around, there was something going on. And one Sunday morning, we'll stand up here in the choir, and Brother Bob was up here in the choir, the adult choir was singing. And Brother Bob, everybody, my wife was standing there, and Josh, he just threw a fit. He is screaming and crying. He was embarrassing, very embarrassing. And I said, my Lord. And I told Linda, I said, that boy needs, we need to have a meeting with that boy. And she goes, well, I know. I told Ruthie, I said, anytime you have a problem with any of the kids, I said, let them come to my house for a little while. Make sure they get straightened out. And so Josh is standing up here, and he's screaming and crying. And after church, when everybody left, I told him, I said, you and I are staying here, boy. And I know this is on video, and I hope nobody sends it to the, I don't care if they send it or not. And he was, so I said, we're going to have a meeting. He was, how old was he? Four or 5 years old. So I said, everybody's gone. I took my belt off. I said, boy, I said, stand against the wall. And I did this with Samson when he was a baby. Now, I don't recommend to do this. This is my way of doing things. It ain't always the right way. I try to do the right thing, but I told him, I said, stand against the wall with your hands on the wall like this. I showed him. I said, why I know that? Because I've been locked up so many times. I know about... I'll train him for later life. And I said, stand against the wall like this. He wouldn't do it. He would not. We'd stand out there in the foyer. He wouldn't do it. He said, he went like this. He said, no. At 5 years old. 4 or 5 years ago, I took my belt and I just smacked him on the hand. I'm not abusive. I wasn't like, you stinking. I wasn't doing that. I just said, stand against the walls like I told you. He wouldn't do it. You know, I don't want to break the spirit of my child. I want to break their will. You know what God does? He doesn't want to break your spirit. He wants to break your will. Where you get to the place and say, not my will, but thine be done. I don't think Samuel, only later in life, Samuel, God had to break his will. Because he kept praying for Saul. And God finally said, that's enough, Samuel. Don't pray for him no more. Josh wouldn't turn around. I smack him on his hands. And finally he said, I want Jesus to smack me. I said, Jesus told me to do it. That's what I'm doing. And then he says, I got to go potty. I said, all right, let's go potty. Went potty and come back out. I said, now stand against the wall. He wouldn't do it. And I smacked his hand. And he went, I mean, like a devil came out of him. And he went, ah, like that one. Had a cross to hang up and put it in face. Little devil. He was a little devil. Still is. So finally, when he finally yielded and did this, I got down beside him and we prayed. He cried and I was crying. See, God doesn't want to break your spirit. He wants to break your will. Yeah. Hannah prays this. And Hannah, man, she had some insight. You say, all them people back then were stupid. No, they weren't. They knew how to raise children. They knew how to love God. Yeah. They knew how to give God praise. But Eli... You know why God took Eli's sons? Because it said, the Bible tells us that Eli never rebuked them and never corrected them. It was a day and age in this country, and it probably still is, where they teach that you don't have to correct your children. Back in the 80s, people were reading Dr. Spock, 70s and 80s. Reading Dr. Spock, and Dr. Spock said, if you spank a child, then what you'll do is you'll wound that child for life. It depends on how you do it. Now look what the Bible says in verse 17. We'll get down, we'll finish this. But we're talking about Hannah dedicating her baby. Verse 17, wherefore the sin of the young men were very great before the Lord. For the men, look what it says, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. They despised. They abhorred God's offering. And God allowed a battle to take place with the Ark of the Covenant. You read on. The Ark of the Covenant was taken. Those boys were killed. Eli falls off the wall and dies. And God does not allow the seed. Now listen to me. God does not allow Eli's seed to continue in the priest's office. Because of it. All right. Hannah dedicated her baby to the Lord. Today is dedication time. Today we ask God. And we've dedicated babies here. And I've even told Brother John, I've said something to our church. I said, we've dedicated babies, and then we don't see the parents again. They don't go to church. They think this is a magical thing that's going to make everything turn out right. Because you dedicate your child today, you're saying, what you're doing is you're handing them over and saying, okay, God, put your hand upon them. That you think that doesn't leave any responsibility to me. Then it's in God's hands. The responsibility is still in your hands. Amen. As a parent. It's your responsibility to raise that child for the Lord. I know some folks did the best they could to raise their children for the Lord. They bet the best they knew how. And the kids turned their back on the Lord. That's not their fault. They've done their best. They tried the best. It's not their fault. The Bible promises, God says, I'll bring them back. I'll chase them. I'll get a hold of them. So parent, just hold on. You keep praying. You keep seeking God for them on their behalf, that God would keep them safe and God would deal with their hearts. As a grandparent now, I've got a responsibility now of my grandchildren. I've got to live a Christian life and live not because I have to, I want to. I want to. I want to be a good example to my children and my children's children. When that brother, whenever somebody tried to, we've had three people try to give the church everything they own when they died, I wouldn't do it. Because the Bible says, a good man leaveth inheritance to his children's children. Amen. The inheritance could be money, could be a testimony, could be material things. But it says a good man leave an inheritance to his children's children. I want to leave an inheritance to my grandchildren and even to my great-grandchildren that they would say, we're blessed because what they did from the beginning. Amen. All right, you parents and grandparents that's going to come up and be with your children.